Welcome to Begin With Yes with Paul Boynton on Empower Radio, a show to help you create and embrace real personal change. You can overcome the challenges in front of you. You just begin with yes. Here's your host, Paul Boynton.
Hey, it's great to have you with us. I am Paul Boynton, as you just heard. And joining forces with us today is Joyce Glick, a personal and professional coach who is extremely passionate about her own life and passionate about helping others discover their own passions and then setting things in motion. Joyce describes her work as actively coaching others to engage in their life and live on the edge. If you're with us live, we welcome your calls and emails today. So if you have a comment, thought, or question, we'd love to hear from you. Here's the number to call, 248-809-3474. Or you can email us at beginwithyes@comcast.net. So let's get to it. Welcome, Joyce.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for having me.
It's great. You and I have been Facebook friends for so long, but we've never actually met in person. And I've been so looking forward to getting you to know you better live right here on Empowered Radio. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm absolutely just having a great day today. I'm, you know, enjoying the weather and looking outside at the beautiful scenery down in Florida. So it's a lovely sunny day as always down here.
Awesome. Is the humidity up?
It is. The humidity is up. Yes, when it's 78 and 90% humidity, it's pretty warm around here.
Well, you know, I just read a quote. In fact, I put this on my Facebook page a few minutes ago. Georgia O'Keeffe said, "I've been absolutely terrified every moment of my life, and I've never let it keep me from doing a single thing I wanted to do." I think feeling scared or fearful is pretty universal. Do you think so?
I do. And I think that we all right now, especially in with everything that's going on, I think that we all live in an uncertain time, and that fear sometimes can be, you know, grab us and keep us stuck in one spot. Now, what I know is most fear is unsubstantiated. You know, in other words, if you're afraid of the boogeyman, is the boogeyman real or something that we make up ourselves? So I think that it's important when we think about that kind of fear that stops us to really take a step back and you know, ask the question, is this fear something that is really out there, or am I just making this up and stopping myself?
Joyce, you know, I think if Georgia O'Keeffe is right, and everybody to one extent or another lives with fear, when I'm getting ready to do a public speaking presentation, sometimes my anxiety level goes up.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured out that sometimes those butterflies in my stomach, what I thought was fear was actually excitement. And I think for me, at least, there's a fine line between being excited and being afraid. Does that resonate with you at all?
Yes, it does resonate with me really a lot. One of my mentors, that's one of her favorite sayings, is that's not fear, that's excitement. And I think that that gets to be our choice. Do we choose to look at it as fear, or can we just do that one switch over in our thinking and think of it as excitement instead of fear? And it is that kind of butterflies in your stomach,
right?
You know, where for me, I hold my breath. You know, I get to where I'm like, you know, I just kind of hold my breath and I have to remind myself to breathe.
Yeah, that's probably the worst thing you can do is hold your breath.
Yeah.
When you're feeling anxious. You know, and there are, as you mentioned just a minute ago, that there are lots of things to be frightened about. So fear is not necessarily a bad thing.
No, I don't think that fear is a bad thing. I think what people grapple with is that the word fear, instead of just being okay with where they're at, whether it's being in fear or whether it's excitement or whether it's, you know, maybe somebody's, you know, very depressed today and that's got them scared, or something else is going on in their life where they're very scared. I think that a lot of people, just the word, you know, can be paralyzing, and being able to just step, move away from that and be okay. You know, it's okay that I'm afraid of what I'm doing. It's okay that I'm afraid that, you know, I'm not going to have a job in 6 months, or you know, it's okay that I'm afraid that, you know, my relationship's not really where I want it to be. I think that fear can be a healthy thing.
So in a sense, it seems like what you're saying is, instead of being afraid of the feeling of fear, it's possible to maybe just let the fear in a little bit and say, well, this is what I am feeling, and it's kind of a rational feeling to be feeling right now, and I'm not going to let that throw me. Is that, does that come close to...
Yeah, hug that fear. Get up close to it and hug it. You know, embrace it.
You know, when you do embrace that fear, do you think that the fear just dissipates or goes away?
Well, no, not always. I mean, I think there are times when it can. I think that, you know, in your book, that beginning with yes, embracing the fear is like saying yes. Yes, I'm going to take this on, and I'm going to challenge myself in whatever that is, you know, to get out and look for a new job, to experience the fear of rejection from a new employer, you know, to have to go to 50 interviews to get one yes. But I think it's along the same lines. When you say yes to that fear, you're acknowledging that there is something there. And then kind of challenging yourself at the same time to work through it.
The other thing that I've noticed, and this is probably personally revealing, but if I'm feeling scared, I tend to stop what I'm doing. I tend to become immobilized momentarily. And if I do take a small action step, if I begin to do something, sometimes it's as simple as just get up and move around.
Mm-hmm. The same thing happens with me. When I really am stuck, let's say, with my fear, for whatever reason that is, very revealing about me, it can almost paralyze me. I don't want to do anything. It's almost the same kind of feeling. I just have this, like, I just don't feel like doing anything. And again, it's about just setting that one goal and saying, yes, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get up today and take a shower. I'm going to, you know, send out that one email on a resume. I'm going to, whatever that one thing is, to step out there and do.
And for me at least, it doesn't necessarily mean that the fear completely goes away, but it becomes much more manageable.
Right, and I think you feel better when you start taking action on something.
Yep. We just got a email from someone in Minnesota, Carrie, and she has a question for us. She said, I'm very unhappy with my job, yet I know I'm lucky to have a job. I want to be an artist, not a receptionist, but I'm afraid to move forward. Any words of wisdom?
Well, I think that, you know, to really look at that is people, you know, finding your passion, and her passion is clearly art, and understanding she might need an income while she's building that artist career. And so I would ask, you know, what would be something that you could do on an everyday basis to build that career as an artist up while you're still being a receptionist,
mm-hmm.
you know, and be okay with being a receptionist, knowing that you're working towards your goal of becoming an artist.
Yeah, I think sometimes we create these either or situations, and then we just sort of stay stuck. And I'm a great believer that you can do lots of things, or at least several things at the same time. And I think your advice to Carrie is, you know, the receptionist job is, at least for the moment, paying your bills, but that mm-hmm. doesn't mean that you can't be an artist during some of the other hours in the day.
Right. You know, Norman Mailer wrote, there are two kinds of brave men. Those who are brave by the grace of nature, and those who are brave by an act of will. Now, I'm personally not brave by the grace of nature. I have to act upon it. So, you know, I think it does take brave people like her to step out and say, you know, this is where I'm at, and it's my receptionist job. It's not who I am. It doesn't define who she is. It just pays her bills. And so stepping out there and creating something, you know, whether it's a web page or a Facebook page or just getting in her community and sharing her art or taking art classes or whatever will fulfill that part of her, as an artist is a brave thing. You know, that's the brave part of it. When you have that either or conversation, it keeps you more stuck. You know, at least for me, if I'm saying, well, either I'm going to be a receptionist or I'm going to be an artist, it just so limits me where I'm at. Where if I say, you know, I'm an artist who happens to be a receptionist right now because it pays the bills. So it's almost a mindset, switching your mindset, just changing. What's her purpose for wanting to become an artist? To be fulfilled, to do what she loves. And really coming from a place of, you know, what's my purpose for this?
When you coach people, can you talk a little bit about what your coaching practice is like and how you get started with people?
Yeah, I can. Well, like you said, you know, I like to, people, for me, I'm passionate about people engaging in their life on whatever level that is, whether it's Carrie becoming an artist when she's just a receptionist right now and what steps we would take to move through that. For me, I really start with people's purpose. What is their purpose? What's the purpose that we're going to take on for coaching? So the purpose is the reason for why we're doing something, whether it's Carrie taking on her art or me having a coaching call with someone or you and I being on the phone today on Empowered Radio. So, you know, what's the purpose for that? And then I would ask, what's their intention? You know, what do they want to have as an outcome? Where do they want to end up? Carrie's purpose, obviously, is to become an artist and to feel, you know, to feel not like a receptionist and really be creative and live the life that she wants. And then in coaching, we like to engage people. So it's important to take action, a small step. And so with clients, we co-create practices that they can take on for the next week or so to get them in action, so that they're actually saying yes to the things that they want to do, what their purpose and intention is.
Do you run into people, and I think I already know the answer to this, but when you begin with them, they actually, Carrie's actually lucky because she knows what her passion is. Do you work with people who would tell you that they don't know what their passion is?
Oh, sure. People come to coaching for all different kinds of reasons. Coaching's about really being with people in a way, you know, and meeting people where they're at. I have lots of clients who come and say, you know, I just don't know what I want to work on. I don't really know what I'm passionate about. And so that is a place to start. So maybe their purpose is to find their passion or to find their purpose in life, to find what they're up to. So really with clients, it's about listening to where they're at and hearing what they're saying, because really most people have their own answers. Whether they're fearful about something, whether they want to change a career, whether they, you know, are passionate about something, it'll show up in their conversation.
Okay. You know, I got a very long, lengthy email note from Susan from Los Angeles, and I'm going to try to sort of paraphrase rather than read her entire note, but it was a fascinating note, and she talked about a few years ago being in an extreme situation where she was in a car. The car was almost hijacked. She was robbed. She had a gun in her face. And that was a real, obviously, a trauma for her. And that she still feels like, to a certain extent, even though that happened a couple of years ago and she's done therapy, that she's still walking around with some residual, maybe it's post-traumatic stress, but some residual feelings that feel like fear, but are not necessarily tied to an event that's happening right now. And I know that there is an important distinction between coaching and being a therapist, but is that enough for you to go on to react to, Joyce?
Well, first, I really would say that was probably a really traumatic experience for her to go through. And I think that your body and your mind can hold on to that trauma for a very long time. So I think it's just very admirable and totally the right thing for her to be seeking therapy about that if she's, you know, hanging on to that fear because that was, like I said, a very traumatic experience, I'm sure. In coaching, we don't necessarily, of course, we touch on things in the past, but really we try to focus our energy on where we're at right now in the world and what we're up to and where do we want to go in the future. And in that process, things will always, of course, come up from our past or, you know, our belief systems or a traumatic thing like Leslie had happen, you know, will show itself up. And again, I think that on a level that at some point we get to choose how that affects us. So we get to say, okay, you know, this still is traumatic for me and I still have some of this residual stuff going on, but today I'm going to face that fear and I'm going to be brave and I'm going to go out and take on this in the world. So coaching, we would create a practice maybe for her to be able to do when she was really feeling that fear that would ground her very, very good in what, you know, in being able to take it on. So we would create something that would work for her to move her forward when she was kind of in that fear.
And I think that, you know, feeling bad, and I'm not sure that she is feeling bad, so I'm just throwing this out there as a thought for Susan. But if Susan's feeling bad because she is feeling fear, it certainly seems pretty rational and reasonable to me that she would. So
well,
the fact that she took the time to send us this email makes me feel like she's on the way to working through this.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely. Like I said, I think it's very, I mean, I don't know what I would do if I was in that situation. You know, I don't know if we don't know what we would do in those kind of situations. And I always, you know, really admire people who've been in those situations and they just, you know, she's done what she needed to do to get over that fear, the real hardcore fear of it. And, you know, she probably has some little hang on things. And I think we all, sometimes hang on to those little fear things, and maybe that on some level assist her. You know, maybe it assists her in challenging herself, or maybe it assists her in being protected, hanging on to that little bit. But it sounds, like you said, it sounds like she's moving right through it.
You know, if someone posted on my Facebook page the other day, don't let fear stop you, let it motivate you.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that thought. And it's the first time I had heard that laid out exactly like that. And again, it's acknowledging that the fear is there and then making a choice about, well, what am I going to do about it? Do I let it stop me in my tracks, or does it encourage me to do what you just said, which is just take one of those small steps and then another small step?
Right. It is. It's asking yourself, is this real or imagined? Whatever it is it something I made up? And then, you know, for me, the next step would be, what's the worst thing that can happen to me if I went ahead anyways, even though I'm in fear? I always imagine, you know, what's the worst thing that could happen? And usually the worst thing that can happen is never as dramatic as I make it up to be myself.
You know, that's
it's
true.
Never quite that much.
I couldn't agree more. I think that a lot of times we exaggerate in our own minds and in our bodies, too. You know, we have that sensation of fear, and then we blow it up into something much bigger than it really is. And that kind of self-talk that you're talking about, what's the worst thing that could happen? Or is this really, is the reality really at the level of fear that I'm feeling? Sometimes those conversations that we can have with ourselves bring things down to a more realistic.
Yeah, and I think the next step for me would be to trust myself, even though I was in fear, and trust the process. And by trust the process, I mean that, you know, really, life doesn't throw at us more than we can handle. I truly believe that life just does not throw at us more than we can really handle. And so at some point, I have to trust myself that even though I'm in fear or I'm dealing with a difficult situation, whatever it is, that I have the answers for myself and what will work for me. And to trust that about myself, you know, that things are quite often not what they appear to be, you know, from my lenses, when I have my rose-colored lenses on in the world. And then to really look at the silver lining. You know, there's always something, for me anyway, I think there's always something out of some kind of fear or something negative that's happened into my life. You know, I always try to take the good away from it. So even something that scares me or, you know, that's bad that I would say in my world that's bad that's happened to me, I try to see what's the good positive thing that came out of that. And again, I think that's just a mind shift of looking at, you know, it's that saying yes to things, Paul, you know, saying yes to the good things.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because as we were talking before we went on the air, we were speaking about sometimes when you say yes, you're actually putting yourself in a position where you're going to experience some of the fear.
So
staying in a very safe, no fear zone is probably not in your best interest.
Yeah. Well, I think that we all live with uncertainty, and uncertainty is fear in some way. We're uncertain about what's going to happen, and that can create a fear, you know, for whatever it is. And that uncertainty is everywhere in our lives. It's really just what we make up about it, how big it gets.
Joyce, let me ask you a question in terms of the fears that you wrestle with. Would you mind just chatting about one for a minute?
Well, sure. I mean, I can share with you just about today, Paul, you know, about this whole process of being on the air with you. You know, you invited me, and I really, all of a sudden, I had to get up from my computer. I was so scared. I was like, oh, no. You know, it just brought up in me this fear of, you know, what would people think? Will I have anything value to say? Will it, you know, what will this create, you know, for me? And what I know about myself is I got up and walked away, and I know for myself that saying yes, the rest of it would work itself out. And after I said yes, I really was not worried about any of it. But I had made up in my head this big, you know, this could be some big thing. And really, you know, if I'd have continued with that, I would have paralyzed myself and just said no.
And the interesting thing, and, you know, I have to apologize to the people that were wanting to call in or may have tried to call in because of the technical problems we were having. We weren't able to take any calls today, and I want to do that next time. But I'm also thinking that the next time I ask you to be on the radio show, you're probably not going to have that same fearful reaction, or at least you're not going to feel the fear at the same level, because you've done it and you did have a lot to say and was very helpful. So the next time around, it probably won't be as fearful, will it?
No, I don't imagine it'll be fearful. Or who knows, maybe I'll be emailing you and saying, hey, Paul, when are you going to invite me back?
All right. Well, I'm going to invite you back right away, because we didn't cover all the things that I wanted to, and we're out of time. So we're going to have to wrap things up for today. But I am going to ask you to come back, and hopefully you won't be fearful about that. So thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Paul.
All right. Before I go, I want to give a big shout out to all my friends who visit the Begin With Yes Facebook page every day. You rock. If you're listening and haven't friended us yet, we'd love to have you join us. I want to thank Brent and Chris and all the good people at Empower Radio. A special thanks to you, Joyce, and to everyone who emailed and tried to call. And thank you for listening. I'll be right here waiting for you all next week. Have a great rest of your day.
Hey parents, finding it hard to communicate with kids in today's world of ever-changing slang?
Hi son.
Excuse me?
Introducing the Communicizer. Just strap non-toxic Communicizer to your mouth and go from boring old man speak.
Oh, you know, I'm here if you want to talk.
To 100% off the chain.
Text me whenever, yo.
It's that easy.
Thanks to Communicizer, I'm relevant to my kids again. I mean, a fly, boo.
And now when you buy Communicizer, you get the auto-tune attachment free. Sounds so hip-hop, your kids will want to talk to you for hours.
I used to have to walk 3 miles uphill to school every morning, shorty.
I love you, Dad.
I love you too, son.
Communicizer is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org.
A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.